Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today.
Experience your drives in 10K with the all-new QI10 Max driver from our friends at TaylorMade. QI10 Max is the most forgiving driver TaylorMade has ever made, with 10K MOI for maximum stability and forgiveness at impact. More forgiveness means more long and straight drives, even on off-center strikes. The days of missing the fairway are numbered. Shop QI10 Max, QI10, and QI10 LS drivers, plus schedule a custom fitting at TaylorMadeGolf.com.
On today's Pardon My Take, the Colorado Avalanche have won the Stanley Cup. We talk about that. Ole Miss is national champions. We have Who's Back of the Week. Our good friends Ryan Whitney and Paul Bissonnette in studio. We taped it last week, but we did a great interview, and we did a Mount Rushmore with them. Mount Rushmore of things that change after you turn 30. Great Mount Rushmore. And then we'll wrap up with Hank's thoughts about what's going to change for him when he turns the big 3-0. And we're brought to you.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by Visible. Go to visible.com/pod and get unlimited single-line wireless for as low as $25 a month. Today is Monday, June 27th, and the Colorado Avalanche are Stanley Cup champions. Big one for the South.
The Cup goes back to the South. Big weekend overall for the South.
Yeah.
Ole Miss baseball wins. Colorado Avalanche win. Roe v. Wade overturned. Just all dubs.
Huge one. You just threw that one in
all
there.
All dubs.
Yeah.
Coming up big. No, listen, I don't care who you root for in the NHL when you see
I thought that was going to be, I don't care who you root for, yeah, but Roe v.
Wade. I'm about to both sides of the issue real quick. No, back to hockey.
Yes. Where we were.
I was going to say, like, no matter who you root for, it's a great ceremony. Like, seeing the person lift the cup for the first time, the team captain, or, like, a longtime veteran on that team finally get their Stanley Cup, it's awesome. That's, like, a top three sports moment.
It's the best. The lifting of the cup, the passing it around as they do it, you know, depending, you know, like, the oldest guy usually goes first, and then they passes it to the guy who's hasn't had a chance, and the captain, and all the stories. Also, shout out the keeper of the cup and the vice keeper of the cup. Those guys are like trapped in 1980. Their hair was incredible, just flowing. I actually wonder, we should interview the vice keeper of the cup because that is his backup. So he basically, the keeper of the cup, who's been doing it forever, probably the coolest job ever, goes around with the cup, chaperones around with the cup. Even when the players get it for a day, he's there. But I do know that the vice keeper of the cup, the backup guy, I think he gets like days like 3 through 5 of the celebration when it's like, you know, just a few guys and they're all just blacked out and it's not as fun. So the cup has a curfew.
Yeah, no.
So the cup goes to sleep at like, I think it's 11 o'clock or midnight when they bring it back to Colorado. They'll be partying, and then be like, all right, Cup's got to go to sleep. Like, got to bring it home.
They pack it up. They've got that special case that they lock it up in. I remember when Ovi won the Cup, and he was taking pictures of it in bed with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
You have to think, like, the keeper of the Cup was there with his little white gloves.
He was taking the pictures.
That guy's got to have an ironclad NDA.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the shit, the stories that he could tell, I would buy a book written by that guy.
Now that I'm thinking about it, like, coolest job, but kind of a shitty job at points, because you basically have to be around the drunkest people ever with a big, super expensive piece of hardware and hope it doesn't break.
Yeah, and
that would be like that would be all-time anxiety.
Yeah, it's a tough job. Maybe not anxiety, but just like it would get annoying after a while.
Yeah.
I would think, just hanging out with drunk people all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's greatest tradition in sports, the Stanley Cup, the pass around, the kisses. Everyone kisses that cup. They're all sharing diseases by the end of the night.
Yep.
The guys with the white gloves, though, you can do anything with white gloves on, and it's like the classiest fucking thing ever. Like, if you ate a sandwich with white, well, Mike Greenberg.
Yes.
And he is a classy man.
Yes. And the Avalanche, incredible team, like an absolute wagon of a team. I looked at it. So they didn't win the President's Cup. They finished second in points to the Florida Panthers by 3, but they did have the most points in the Western Conference. They went 16-4 in the playoffs. They had a 4-game sweep, 4-2 against the Blues, 4-game sweep of the Oilers, 4-2 against the Lightning. If you combine it all and you take out overtime losses in the regular season, they won a 78% clip, which is insane.
It's pretty good.
Like, that is just
they're also
an awesome, awesome hockey team that deserves to win the cup.
They're just super likable too.
Oh yeah,
their team's awesome. Kadri after the game, he said, "Everyone who thought I was a liability in the playoffs, you can kiss my ass."
Love it.
That's just hockey talk.
I
think that you're like completely allowed to swear if it's the Stanley Cup ceremony on TV. They just forget about the FCC. They're like,
yes,
things as it should be.
Yes.
But yeah, they're super likable. McKinnon was awesome. Awesome.
Cam McCarr wins the Conn Smith. Who we talked to Whitney about it. Like, one of the. He has a chance to be one of the greatest defensemen ever in terms of where he's at his career right now and the talent level.
Yeah.
He was just a beast. Like, the times where I feel like there was multiple times where I was watching and he would have like minute 45, 2 minutes, and then he'd be sitting on the bench and just like squirt of water, not even hunched over, still ready to go. Just those type of guys, those type of athletes, they're like Secretariat. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if his heart's like double the size of everyone else's.
Yeah, did you see the Stanley Cup also has a fire Twitter account?
Yes.
They put out a pretty good tweet. They said, "Turn the lights off, carry me home."
Mm-hmm.
A little nod to all the small things fans.
Damn.
Yep.
That's great. And the worst award goes to Corey Perry, who's now lost 3 straight cup finals. So he was on the Canadiens, he was on the Stars, and then he tried to join the super team of the Lightning, going ring chasing, even though he has one, and came up short again. That's brutal. I mean, the fact that he has one makes it not that hard. Like, it's different. If he did not have a cup and it was the end of his career and he went 3-0-3 with 3 different teams, that's so fucking hard to do. But I don't care.
The hardest one they had was last year, getting to the cup with the Canadiens.
Yeah.
That's like the most unlikely loss that he had in the Stanley Cup final.
Yes.
Are we going to do the Tampa Bay Lightning frauds talk? Are they a fraudulent dynasty?
Kind of.
Kind of fraudulent dynasty.
Kind of. Mickey Mouse.
Two's not a dynasty. They're not even a
dynasty. No, yeah, 2 isn't a dynasty. That's a fact.
Yeah. But if they win next year, dynasty, perhaps.
Yeah.
But then we'll debate the Mickey Mouse.
It is hot in the streets. What's a dynasty?
3.
And 3 and 5?
5 years.
Three and five seems right to me.
Yeah.
I agree. That the Blackhawks were a dynasty. Facts.
I agree.
The Avalanche, though, they're fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I that was as impressive of a run as you can have, because it was just never, like, they just never really sweat. They never got to a game 7, and they just trucked half the competition. And Stan Kroenke, some people are saying, wins a Lombardi, wins a cup within 6 months of each other. Mm-hmm. Is he the best owner in sports?
Stop the Super League?
Arsenal fans, I actually was trying to troll Troops, our friend Troops, but Arsenal fans are feeling high and mighty right now because I guess he's spending some money in the transfer window.
Oh, so how?
So
they're
like, yeah, he's fine.
Great
he is
guy.
Good. Yeah. So he maybe got a taste of winning, and he was like, I want to keep winning, which that – I never understand any owner that doesn't – like, I love the idea of an owner winning one and being like, oh, this is fun. I should try to do this again.
Yeah, like
what were you doing before?
It takes that moment for them to be like, yeah. Oh shit, yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
It's better to win than it is to lose.
Yes.
They always say about Stan Kroenke, like, great owner, even better person, though.
Yeah,
even true humanitarian.
And the best mustache.
Yeah, great mustache.
A supervillain mustache
and
for
great,
the ages.
Great hairpiece.
Yep.
Just all around all-star of a gentleman.
Rich enough that no one will say to his face, hey, that hairpiece is disgusting, mm-hmm. which is really all you need to do as a super rich owner is you just got to get to a point where no one would ever dare say to your face, hey, that hairpiece sucks.
Yeah, Mark Davis level.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not a hairpiece.
No, that's all that, natural.
They would never sell
but
that.
But yeah. Mark Davis is in the zone where no one's like, hey, dude, your haircut sucks.
Yeah.
To his face.
It'll be nice to get there one day, hopefully.
Everyone says it behind their back.
Yeah.
But, like, would you care? If you're a billionaire, really is like, can you get to a point where literally no one ever says anything mean to you to your face?
It's also just an obscene level of wealth if you own three major professional sports teams.
I think he owns the Nuggets too, doesn't he?
So he's got four. I think he's got like
pretty sure
he's got a piece of the pie with the Nuggets. That's got to be awesome.
Oh, man.
Like the sports calendar is just you have a sport that you own, a team that you own, like all year round,
all the time.
That's pretty sweet. But
he is the owner of Oh my God, he's the owner of the Los Angeles Rams, Arsenal, the Denver Nuggets, the Colorado Avalanche, the Colorado Rapids, the Colorado Mammoth. What even
Where's
are these
the Mammoth?
Things? Los
That's
Angeles,
the NLL.
Los Angeles I'm Gladiators,
sure the NLL.
Los Angeles Gorillas. I think we've gotten into esports. Screaming Eagle Winery and Vineyards.
Oh, that's
and
like,
Wagoneer Ranch.
Screaming Eagle is like the best American wine.
Yeah, damn. That guy just owns shit.
Sheesh. That's crazy. That's a wild, like his life is perfect.
It's kind of fucked up they have it as owner of the Denver Nuggets because we know that's governor.
It's governor. It should be governor.
That's fucked
there.
Up. But yeah, Avalanche.
I do want to give a big middle finger to the sports calendar though because my internal biological clock is all kinds of screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
There should be more NBA games after Correct. The Stanley Cup's over.
And it really
makes no sense to me.
It really is like a sad feeling to be like, there goes the last meaningful sporting event for a couple months. Like
yeah.
you can, you know,
baseball,
I watch baseball,
kind
but
of.
you can't have the same feelings about baseball, regular season baseball, as you do of any playoff.
The Live Tour.
The Live Tour
is back in action.
The Live Tour is going to be electric.
In Oregon this week.
By the way, did you see our guy Brandless Chambly got caught with his hand in the cookie jar?
What'd he say?
He was lying about, it was something about Charles Schwartzel basically not getting paid for winning that tournament. Essentially, he was saying that like all their money was up front and it counts, like their winnings when they win an actual tournament counts against their guaranteed money. And then I forget his name. Can you look it up? Jake,
so
the caddy who does stuff on ESPN. Very funny guy.
Oh, yeah. That guy's awesome.
He was like, yeah, this is just not true. And then he just roasted Brandless and was like, why don't you walk the course during
Michael
tournaments?
Michael Collins?
Yeah, Michael Collins.
Get your facts straight,
he
blandly.
Was like, he was basically blasting him, being like, everyone hates you, you're a coward.
That's a good idea, though. Like, if anybody out there from Saudi Arabia is listening, I know we got a big demographic over there, but they should do the thing where they like pay everybody up front,
mm-hmm.
and then they're just indebted, they're indentured servants to the Saudis for the rest of the, and they have to win their way off the tour.
Yes.
That would be awesome.
Yes. That's what he made it seem like.
Or they could just not pay them and be like, hey, Charles Schwartzel, you have to like go ask for your money.
Yeah.
You have to like send your thugs over to get your money out of MBS's pockets.
You got
to
go do an interview for your money.
Yeah. You have to get that out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Meet us at the embassy.
Yeah. Bring your favorite journalist. Let's see if you can do it. But yeah, Avalanche fans, congratulations. Today is the day. I mean, there's also the fact that it's like happening right rolling into July 4th. I'd imagine the parade's going to be what, Tuesday or Wednesday?
It said Thursday.
Thursday. Oh, that's even better.
Yep.
So you just
don't go into work Friday.
last week of the week on Wednesday, and then just roll for like a week and a half, just
maybe
having fun and just drinking where the cup could possibly be.
Maybe just duck out of work early on Wednesday, get a head start on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
You had to go to the grocery store, get all your provisions for the parade, then go to the parade Thursday, take off work Friday. Then you have Monday off anyways.
That's actually great they did it Thursday because parades like early in the week suck.
Yeah, I agree.
So good
Tuesday
job.
Parades are the worst.
Yeah. Probably another masterstroke by Stan Kroenke. Yep. Guy just keeps winning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we also got a backup commissioner tonight, too. It's the summer of backup commissioners.
I know, because I love booing Gary Bettman.
We had Gary Bettman stand in. And it's crazy listening to him talk, because you forget, like, what an impersonable piece of shit Gary Bettman is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all commissioners are kind of cut from the same cloth. Their job is to be just, like, just their wallpaper.
Right.
Is essentially what they want in terms of your personality. And then they have a guy that noticeably likes hockey that's out there presenting the cup.
It
fucks everything up. It's like, wait, you're not supposed to have a personality.
Yeah.
You're supposed to just, like, stand there, get booed, and then let the guy take the cup.
Yeah. Yeah. And we got robbed of our booing. Last thing about the Stanley Cup playoffs, over under 2.5 cups for this core of the Avalanche. Got to do it.
We got to do this. And if you take the under, it means that they're going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be disappointment if they don't turn into their own dynasty.
I'm going to say over. They've been knocking on the door for a while now. They got a crazy good young team.
I think they're getting exactly 2 Stanley Cups.
Okay. Two on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Hank said that Nathan MacKinnon's legacy took a hit because he didn't win the Conn Smythe. You stand by that?
People are asking,
Is he the Steph Curry of the NHL?
It was a very good, like, natural legacy comment right as the cup was being mm-hmm. raised. He's like, hey, wait a second.
Well, for real puck boys like Hank that know, like, Hank watches puck every night during the
every
winter.
Every night.
And so he knows that, like, that was Nathan. The big question was, like, can Nathan MacKinnon get the Conn Smythe Award?
And the answer's no.
Resounding no.
No.
Did he choke? Hard no. Do you think, like, if you were to inject him with truth serum, would he be like, I kind of wish that we lost?
Yeah, they choked game 5.
I don't know if this season's a success for him.
They choked game 5, not winning it at home. Robbed them.
Yeah.
I really wanted a game 7. Because the other story, the other ring that we handed out today, Ole Miss Baseball, who was, I think I saw the stat, they were at 1.7-14 in SEC play, barely got in the tournament, and essentially our colleague Ben Mintz willed them to victory
mm-hmm.
with a little help from Chris Castellini. Incredible run by them. And I was like, first of all, I was pissed that they had that game at 3:00 in the afternoon. Like, I don't know why they're crowning a champion at 3:00 in the afternoon. And then I just wanted one more. I wanted either a game 7 Stanley Cup or a Monday night winner take all college baseball national championship. We got robbed of both, boys.
I wanted the Monday night just because I wanted a full day of solo shine on college baseball. I never even knew that it existed until Ben Mintz told me about it.
Correct.
He's growing the game one person at a time. In fact, I've heard that if you see Ben Mintz around, he's going to probably go on his own Stanley Cup tour. We actually should hire a keeper of the cup for Ben Mintz. Like, just a full-time watcher that follows him around with the gloves, make sure everyone's keeping
a keeper of Ben Mintz.
A keeper of the Mintz.
Mm-hmm.
If you see him, give him a big wet kiss on the cheek.
Yes.
He loves that.
And say, PMT sent me.
PMT sent me here. This one's from Big Cat.
Yes.
And put two fat lips
that
right
one
on
should
his
be
cheek.
On the lips.
Yeah.
Lips. I went to Pride Parade today. I noticed you guys weren't allies being there.
Oh, my friend died. Sorry, I was at a funeral.
Okay, well, I knew you had an excuse. Hank, what's your excuse? You don't want to get too close to employees you're probably going to fire because they're gay?
I was just feeling really proud on the golf course, you know?
Oh, mm-hmm. Oh, golf.
Would you shoot?
It's not important.
Nice. So you went to a country club that is notorious for keeping out.
No, it was a Mooney.
Oh.
Yeah.
Everyone's welcome.
Oh, okay. Did you at least play the back nine?
Yeah.
How bad did you shoot?
Not good.
What? Tell us. Tell us the number.
105.
105?
That's pretty good.
That's okay.
For a 13-year-old.
Yeah. No, that's not bad. Tiger did that when he was 5.
Yeah, it was bad. What do you want me to say?
Well, at least you're getting better.
I'm trying to.
At least you're getting exercise.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's what's
a good
important.
Walk.
Yeah.
A good solid walk. But yeah, congrats to Ole Miss.
That was their first, I think, NCAA recognized team sport national championship for Ole Miss.
That's crazy. And they also did it a year after Mississippi State. And I know that our friend Brandon Walker will think I'm trolling with this, but I told him this exact statement a week ago. I think that if your bitter rival wins a championship the year after you do, it almost erases your championship.
Oh, completely. Because you have zero time to gloat over it.
None.
It's like
it's over.
It never happened. Especially the way that it happened. Like, that was Mississippi State's first national championship in a team sport.
Correct.
And then Ole Miss gets theirs. I think now it's just Virginia Tech that's left without a title.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I've got a
dumb question about Ole Miss, though. And I'm sure that everybody will tell me exactly the reason behind it. Why isn't it Ole Miss? Why is it Ole Miss?
I don't know.
Why is it E?
Just what they got.
Yeah.
Sounds cooler. Old Miss would be weird.
It would be very weird. Yeah. Old Miss, Ole Miss.
It's good Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm, but they...
Not good old Miss.
They played exceptionally well, like, all throughout the College World Series. They're the hottest team in baseball by far.
Oh, yeah.
But then, now you've got all the people being like, well, they shouldn't have been in it to begin with. Silence them right
Can't
up.
Can't do that.
Can't do it anymore.
Can't do that. They won the whole thing.
I'm so sorry. I have to go to the bathroom.
Oh my God. Oh, no. What? What did you eat?
I had chicken and rice, but I guess the chicken...
Is it a you problem now?
It was always a me problem.
All right, we'll call you for your who's back.
Jake's got IBS, guys.
Unreal.
He's got Crohn's, maybe?
Billy would... Oh, no, I can't say his name.
Nope.
Swear jar.
Billy Jar.
All right.
I'm going to look up what Jake might have.
Who's
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started.
I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy.
Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Hank, who's back of the week?
My who's back of the week is throwback jerseys.
Okay.
So obviously with NHL season coming to an end, college baseball coming to an end, no more NBA. It is now kind of that, like, get ready for football time.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the Patriots.
Wait, are you saying football's back?
I saw the Patriots.
I think he just said the first football is back.
I saw the Patriots put out that they're going to come and wear their red throwback jerseys this year. And that was the first time I was like, I think football's back. Like, I can't
there
wait.
There we go.
Football's
Hank?
Back. That's a record new time.
I didn't say the words. No, I didn't say that.
No, you said people were getting ready for football now.
Football is back. Thank you, Hank.
We're getting ready. We're getting prepared for it to be back.
So the Patriots are wearing their red jerseys this year?
Yeah.
Are they going to have Pat the Patriot on the helmets?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can now do two different helmets, right?
Yeah, it changes everything.
I like that.
I think the Eagles are doing Kelly Green, which is like they should always do that.
My other who's back was NIL deals because four-star QB got $10 million from Miami.
Whew. Yep, pretty good. He turned down, I think, $11 million from Florida, and he went with $9.5 million from Miami.
I think I might be outgunned with my let's make some sick T-shirt pitch to a bunch of high school kids that I slide in their DMs. I'm going to have to refigure this one.
Yeah, so I think you have to shoot lower. You just have to go for two-star recruits.
Yeah, maybe
tank tops.
He obviously signs. He's going to make more than that too, right?
Yeah, I don't know because he's also just insanely rich because of the Manning family, right? Yeah,
he's going to make money for sure in Austin. There's no doubt about that.
But I could also see Arch Manning being because they have so much money, being like, no, we're still college athletes. We're not taking any money.
I don't know. I feel like that was a pretty big deciding point for him.
Yeah, it probably was. But it is interesting having a guy being that rich also walk into that type of money.
Mm-hmm.
So good for Arch Manning. Good for this kid in Miami. Four-star, too, right? Not even five. Damn.
I think he was number 30 overall
in
his class.
Going great for five stars.
That's crazy.
That's so nuts.
Well, Tennessee gave that one kid $6 million.
I realize now that how bad this is going to be for the kids if they suck.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to get roasted. Because there's always been the, they're just kids.
Well, that's
But if a five-star is getting $9.5 million and he stinks, people are going to fucking crucify
him. That's what Arch has in his Twitter bio. It just says high school athlete.
So he might just do that. Might just
a kid.
Play for the love of sport.
I'm just a kid.
Yeah. All right. Who's your who's back, PFT?
My who's back is quitting.
Oh.
Quitting's back. Specifically, Jason Kokrak. Is that how you say his name? The golfer?
Oh.
So he...
Oh, yeah. I saw this.
This was awesome. You remember Vontae Davis, the guy on the Bills that quit at halftime?
Yes.
So after his second round this weekend, he hit... his second shot on the last hole, 44 yards over the green into spectators that were on the road. And then he just finished up the hole and didn't even submit a scorecard. Just got his car, left, and left to join the LIV Tour.
Love it.
Yep.
That's a great way to do it.
It's awesome.
Because then he doesn't have to talk to anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My other who's back is cigarettes because Juuls are getting outlawed.
Oh.
Thoughts and prayers to Bubba on that one. It's going to be tough. Listen, if you need any advice, I kicked it. I kicked it cold turkey back
in
February.
It's the summer cigs now.
Summer cigs, yeah. Analog cigarettes are back.
Jake's back.
Jake, quick question for you. Are you using again?
No. I don't know.
How'd it go in there?
We're good. It was a pretty quick one. But
yeah.
A number of diseases and conditions can cause diarrhea, including viruses such as COVID-19, bacteria and parasites, lactose intolerance, and digestive disorders like IBS, ulcerative colitis, celiac disease. Are you gluten?
Do you think your mom's going to text you after this segment?
Of course.
And she'll be like, what's going on, honey?
Yeah, no, because like this has been my thing my whole life. But
yeah,
the fact that it's on this show, like, why couldn't my body have done this an hour ago?
Right, right. It's just synced up to the show.
Yeah,
and we're doing a super fast show too.
Right.
Does that make it tough, like in the bedroom when you've got all these butthole issues?
Well, he eats butt. He doesn't get his butt eaten.
Well, no, is that true?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh,
there it is. Okay, good.
Yeah. Did you find out the Ole Miss thing?
Ole Miss was a term. Slaves used to refer to the wife of a plantation owner.
Oh, yeah, that
All right. So that's shouldn't ask that question. That BFT.
You want you don't want to dig around too deep for questions you don't want to know the answer to.
Yeah. All right, my who's back is Wild Things, crazy wild.
Bonk.
What?
You know the movie?
You thought of that.
All time
scene. That's a bonk on you.
All time scene.
That's a bonk on you, not me. Wild. Russell Wilson threw the first ever football at AS Monaco's practice field. It was wild. He did a whole Instagram video and he's like, check this out, guys. No one's ever thrown a football on this field. And then he threw it.
He broke the seal on it.
It was fucking nuts, dude.
Did people go crazy?
I mean, it was a where were you moment.
Like how the ball is like differently shaped from any ball that they've seen before.
I was sitting on my couch while I was watching and I was like, wow. It was like watching them land on the moon, which was actually just a soundstage hole. I'm going to try to find it.
Yeah, Stanley Kubrick directed in Las Vegas.
That's true, though, isn't it?
Football team. Watch.
I want to show them a football that I know, and it's the first football pass ever here at AS Monaco practice facility. Come with me. Come check it out.
And then he threw the ball.
That's crazy. Was it a good spiral, at least?
It's pretty good.
Let's go.
Okay, no, that's...
First ever.
No, that's done.
First ever.
Listen, they... I'm surprised they didn't burn him at the stake for being a witch.
Crazy.
When they saw that football.
Because it's football. They say football over there.
But it's a different football.
Right.
It's shaped differently.
So there's been a lot of football passes, but never a football pass.
Wow.
Crazy.
Grow the game.
And then my other who's back is Mark Appel, which is actually a really cool story. Former number one pick in the MLB draft. I always know him as the guy that let the Cubs get Chris Bryant because Chris Bryant went the pick after. But he's talked openly about his struggles getting, mentally getting through injuries and all these things. Everyone called him the biggest bust ever. He finally got called up to the Phillies over the weekend. Very cool story. One of those, sports are, sometimes things work out for good guys who are just grinding.
Yeah, he's a pitcher, right?
Yes.
And so I think he had Tommy John surgery.
And then he had shoulder surgery,
that's
got to
be so frustrating for a pitcher. Like, I'm surprised that more players don't just, completely drop off the face of the earth after they get Tommy John surgery. Because it's, a year and a half worth of rehab.
So,
the moment that you're told you need Tommy John or you need a shoulder surgery, you have to just accept the fact that you're not going to throw a baseball for, 9 months.
I think it was more. I think I saw a tweet where he was like, when my shoulder got fucked up, I couldn't play for 30 months.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that's got to really fuck with you as a player.
Yes.
So good for him.
Good for him. And also the brawl between the Mariners and the Angels was awesome.
Yep.
There should be more brawls.
It's usually right around this time of year there's another brawl.
Yeah, come on. More brawls.
I love the second wave when it's the bullpen that runs out and it's 2 minutes after the fight's already started and usually been broken up. Then you get the bullpen guys coming in for the second round of pushes. Mm-hmm. But there were actually some punches thrown in this one.
Yeah, there were.
Which was nice to see.
And the Angels continue to be the weirdest team ever because I think Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani probably are 1-2 in terms of most electric guys to watch, and no one watches them.
No one ever
watches. It's crazy. It is crazy. Shohei Ohtani hit a home run the other night that was jaw-dropping, and no one saw it.
So we were talking about the sports biological clock that your body has earlier. This, to me, this is the exact right week to get a brawl in baseball. Mm-hmm. I just know a brawl is coming. The other thing that I know is coming this week is going to be an NFL news dump.
Yep.
That always happens.
Deshaun Watson suspended for
a year. For a year, but also indefinitely. They're going to drop that one on us on Friday.
Yep. Right before 4th of July, and the Browns are going to look. Oof. And then Baker.
Baker might be going to Seattle.
I would love to see Baker. I want to see Baker have to play for the Browns this year.
I don't think he will.
I don't think he has a choice.
I don't know.
He's just not going to play football?
Yeah, maybe.
No.
He would come off looking very soft if that happened.
Yeah,
if he was like, get paid. I refuse to play football for you because you were mean to me.
Yeah, no chance. He'll play, and it will be very awkward. And I hope he's good.
Yeah.
I hope he lights it up, and then everyone has to be like, shit. We signed Deshaun Watson.
And then, so what if this happens? What if Baker gets him, like, to the second, third round of the playoffs this year? And then
If he gets to the third round, the AFC Championship would be insane.
Yeah, then Deshaun comes back next year, and Baker just lit it up. They're paying Deshaun $200 million. But Baker, what if he had, like, a Pro Bowl season? Something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Football's back.
Did you see the pizza delivery portion of that brawl? Someone delivered a pizza to the Mariners' locker room for Jesse Winker, and he got the pizza and DM'd the girl, thank you.
Really?
Yeah. That's awesome.
That is great. Yeah. That's great.
That's also the most, like, Mariners story ever.
Yeah. Yeah, because he got kicked out. All right, who's back, Jake?
I don't know if I missed anything, so I apologize if I'm doubling.
Yeah.
The Water Dogs are back.
Yeah.
They won their first game of 2022. They smoked the defending champion Chaos in Baltimore over the weekend, so congrats to them.
Great. Good job.
Stay woke.
Congrats on doing your job.
They have to give us a win eventually.
1-3.
They have to give us a win eventually. So, like, of course, why not be, like, against the defending champs?
Yeah.
A little too convenient, right?
I was this close to offering my portion of the Water Dogs up to Stan Kroenke. Because at least he would get shit done.
Yeah. He would win. Winners win. I've said that if the Water Dogs get above 500, I will issue a formal apology. Above 500. Not 500. Above 500.
They've never lost with me in attendance.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I don't know whether I want you to go or not go.
No.
All right.
I'm wrong. Last year I went to Long Island.
Oh, damn.
They won 2 in a row.
You did a great job on your call.
Thank you. Thank you guys for all watching.
I also want to say a special shout out because my favorite thing to watch it when Jake is calling a game. There's times where I think he knows that we're watching, and he's very, like, particular. Do you know what I'm referring to?
Maybe.
Your co-host, Quint Kesnich?
Yeah, Kesnich, yeah.
Was like, man, this game's crazy. We thought there'd be 40 goals, because I bet the over. He's like, we thought there'd be 40 goals with the way the first quarter went, and you were like, well, hopefully there still will be. We're rooting for the over. And yes. I was like, that a boy, Jake.
Yes. Also, they put the lines on, right above the score bug.
Yeah. I'm
like, you're free to talk about it.
Right.
That's the future. Like, right. There's no more tipping.
Jake Marsh is the future.
Wait, we had Jake Marsh calling the sport of the future while there was lines?
Lines of the future.
We're just in the future. At what point do we say we're in the future?
That was nice. It was wild. It was nice. Yeah, the future's nice.
So, like, the broadcasters don't really need to tiptoe around it anymore. Like,
no.
It's out there.
But I appreciate it because I know that in the back of your head, you're like, I know Big Cat has the over because he tweeted me and said that I'd be very upset. Yeah. So.
And it was a good start to that game, too.
Yeah, not a great finish.
And then Archers didn't score in the second quarter.
You looked extremely tall on television.
Thank you.
I think the camera added like 7 inches to
you,
Jake.
Yeah, it did look pretty tall.
You were towering.
Yeah, yeah. You're a beast.
My favorite thing that Jake told me, like a little behind-the-scenes nugget, is they give you cue cards in case, you know, to cover virtually any circumstance that happens during a game. And one of the cue cards was for a TV announcer apology. Where if Jake had said something bad on the air, they had like a form ready to go where he was like, earlier in this broadcast, I said X, Y, Z.
It was just
and I
like
to apologize
blank,
for that.
But
oh, man.
They were prepared for Jake to
that one.
Jake to drop something
That's
bad.
That's great. I love that. You should frame that at the end of your career and be like, never had to use it.
Yeah.
Knock on wood, yes.
No, I'm not knocking on wood. I hope you have to use
no!
it. Are you kidding me?
I mean,
I want you to use it so bad.
Memes wants you to use it bad
so
you'd have a new template ready
I also
to go.
Want some really famous person to die during a PLL game, so you have to announce it.
No.
Your John Lennon moment.
How does that work? So, like, in terms of sports hierarchies, like, if you're announcing, I don't know, like a double A game or like a single A game or Savannah Bananas game, and, like, what if the president dies?
The president gets assassinated.
Does Jake have to
cut away from the archers and cannon?
Yeah.
Man. Now I'll knock on wood. That would be incredible.
That would be so great.
That would be so fucking great.
Yeah, maybe more to come later this season. We'll see.
Yes. Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
All right. Do it.
Great job, though, Jake.
Do it.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Right. Every time I see Jake on TV, I do get a feeling, like, almost of, like, a proud dad.
Oh,
look
big
at her
time.
Boy.
Big time. All right, let's get to Ryan Whitney and Paul Bissonnette. Great interview with them. We also do the Mount Rushmore of things that change after you turn 30. Very funny.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, we now welcome on two of our favorite guys in the world. Oh, yeah, there he goes. He's putting on the headphones now.
Got beaten in a submission.
I lost 3-1. What am I supposed to do?
It is Ryan Whitney and Paul Bissonnette in studio. It's been a while since we had both you guys on at the same time.
The old office.
Yeah, the old office.
2-on-2, no back checkers?
2-on-2, no back checkers. We're kind of, I don't know if you guys probably didn't hear. You guys didn't hear
You're criminally horny. Like, I get a lot of shit for being horny, and I'm not. You should be locked up.
Well, actually, I'm less horny now that I'm over 30.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay, so that's a preview. We're going to do the Mount Rushmore of things that, we're going to make it broad. So it's things that change after you turn 30, so it can be things that you suck at as well.
Your dick size.
Yeah. Yeah. But let's chop it up.
Or before. Your belly size, so your dick you just can't see.
That's too. Optical illusion.
That too.
If you don't use it.
You lose it.
You lose it.
We actually were talking about, how about this for a horse name? Leather Cheerio.
Oh, that's a good, okay.
Could you imagine Leather Cheerio winning the Kentucky Derby?
Leather Cheerio? Yeah. Where did this come from? Am I missing
something? That's one of my buddies from Welland, Ontario, the way he described a stripper's asshole when he went to the Sundowner. Back in the day when he was lighting loonies and toonies up, getting them hot.
It'd be great if Leather Cheerio was like a brown horse that was really good in the mud, too. Like disgusting looking horse.
Yeah. So we're taping this.
The jockey was a stripper.
Instead of continually ripping off your goggles, he's ripping off the domers.
It was a girl Mercedes driving the horse.
Yeah, his little horseshoes are just big condoms, magnums.
Yeah, I don't use
Leather
those.
Leather Cheerio. Yeah, you
I double bag those ones.
You're not supposed to do that.
What, yeah. Double bag?
Yeah, it's friction, dude.
You ever learn that?
Tell me how to fuck my wife.
Congrats.
Okay. Congrats on the marriage.
Yeah, congrats.
Sounds like...
And the sex.
And the sex. All right, so we're taping this on Wednesday. So there's Stanley Cup, and we're going to run it on Monday. So Stanley Cup has happened. What?
I just saw your text. We're changing. We're doing the different format.
Oh my God! Talk about not being able to think on his feet, dude.
A half hour ago, it's all encompassing. So whatever you already have,
this guy's
just
doing teams. We're not doing teams. We're doing.
Hank's been very soft. Oh my God, Hank! We just talked about being quick-witted and being able to think on your feet. You're proving you can't do either.
No, I'm ready. Big Cat's just—I don't know.
I didn't. I gave 30 minutes.
No, he said it's the same.
I think it's all gone to his head since he's been sitting courtside.
Yeah, no shit.
At the NBA finals, he's got splinters in his toes.
Stop thinking you're so big time and just adjust, Hank.
Everything you picked can still work.
All right.
But I was going to say, we're taping on Wednesday. We're going to run it on Monday. So Stanley Cup final, do you guys want to give a prediction that's going to be wildly wrong by the time we get to Monday? What will that be? Game?
Tampa's coming back and winning this thing.
Oh,
really?
Like
but I've been on Tampa for the past 2 years. I've picked them to win the last two cups, and I picked them again this year because I won't pick them until they lose. So I'm not going to go against my feelings now because game three, which just happened, it went exactly as I thought it would.
Yeah.
So if Kucherov's hurt, now granted this before game four, I know this is going Monday. If Kucherov's hurt, we could be in trouble. But I think that now Vasilevsky's figured it out. Every series, Tampa just gets better and better.
Biz, have you noticed now that you're a big time fucking TV star on TNT? Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. You mean you want any shout outs real quick?
Oh yeah, he thanked the whole. Yeah. He thanked Turner Broadcasting.
Yeah, he
company.
Doesn't even remember though.
No, I thanked everybody because they were so kind and you know, being able to mix in the Chicklets and Barstool brand, you know, with a major network. And I mean, hey, maybe you're just a little jealous because ESPN pigeon tossed you guys.
Oh,
you two got absolutely
pigeon-tossed. You guys got pigeon tossed.
You want to know why?
You guys couldn't do what Biz does.
You want to know why?
They gave you the sonk. You're hired, sonk.
Because we didn't go on other shows and be like, hey, I'd like to take the next 30 minutes to thank a company.
Yeah, you should.
Hey, thanks to ESPN. We just want to say ESPN, you're great.
You should have gone on.
Mickey Mouse, pound me in my ass and call me Shirley.
Things that,
I fucking love you.
Things that suck after 30, giving double barrel wristers to every company I work for. How about that?
Biz was thanking the people who cleaned his room at the Four Seasons in Atlanta.
I was getting shesterkined off stage there. They started playing the wrap that shit up. Rap that. Hey, who was it? I think it was Tyler, the Creator, when he was at the Grammys. They were like, wrap that shit up. Get the fuck off the stage.
What I was going to ask, though, like, are you watching the games now with, like, a professional mind? Because I feel like you're walking around giving, like, hey, who do you think's going to win the series? And you get into Biz TV mode and you start breaking it down. It's like, dude, I just asked, like, if I ask Whitney that, he'll just be like, yeah, I think the Lightning are going
to win. Well, he just talked for a minute. I would say that I'd say that it's going to come down to pivotal game four. Winner of that game, I mean, that's a
game,
simple.
Well, that's basically five. A game five.
What do you mean?
We said pivotal means game five.
Yeah,
these guys are trying to mess you up. It's a pivotal game four. Don't listen to them.
If Tampa ties it at home in game four,
yeah, that's basically a game five.
I think that Tampa has a good chance of coming back in the series. Game four, if they lose it, it's over. But no way that they win three in a row.
So if it's 2-2,
well, you told me to fucking keep it simple and off the glass and out Hal Gill style.
You made him spit on himself. By the way, you could get Biz. You want his take on the series. And then he'll give it to you, and then you say, all right, now smoke, Biz. And then he'll be like, oh, Brian, Bron's in the stands are unreal, so I'm on Tampa, Colorado's a southern state. Yeah. So you can get two different Bizzes depending on when you catch them during the day.
Crackhead Biz, and then you get normal Biz. If I sit next to RA on the stream, I become Crackhead Biz.
Hey, Biz, right, like on TBS is like Chappelle, like doing his stand-ups, and then Biz on Barstool is like Crackhead Chappelle from the skit. Tyrone, what was it, Bigums?
Biz. Is there actually? It's a good question to ask, though. Is there a bigger swing that anybody in media has than sitting next to RA on your podcast and then sitting next to Wayne Gretzky?
That's a good question.
On TNT.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then RA sent Gretzky home from the one time I got to hang out with him because he asked him if Adam Oates was a better passer than him. I'll never get over that.
What did happen?
You don't know this?
No.
Yeah.
Oh my God. We had a night with Gretzky. Let me explain. You had a million nights with Gretzky. They used to drink till friggin' 3 a.m. together and tell all these awesome stories. I had it one night after we interviewed him. Having drinks, Wayne's telling stories, stuff that he's not going to say on the podcast, you know, being a little bit more, not personal, but he's not being recorded.
Right.
And all of a sudden, RA's talking to him for a while.
He's waffled.
And I look and Gretzky just gets up. He's like, good night, guys. I was like, what the fuck just happened? We have videos. I'm like, what happened? All right, what'd you say? And he's like, I asked him if Adam Oates is a better passer than him.
He's got more assists than anybody else who's ever played hockey has.
It made Wayne leave. Yeah. Wayne goes, nice meeting you.
Yeah, I mean,
see you later, guys.
There's a lot of stuff you can say about Wayne Gretzky. I always like to say, like, Ovi's a better scorer than Gretzky is, a goal scorer.
Well, not yet.
But you can't say there's no chance that anyone could ever be comparable to him when it comes to assists.
But is there, can you debate eras? Like, it obviously was more offense when he played, right? Like, because that's obviously a big NBA debate, NFL debate. Like, you know, any passing record that happens now, you're just like, okay, whatever. Like, they just pass way more than they did 20 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to deny, like, the equipment. The goaltending is obviously improved.
They didn't do butterfly, right?
Team structure, the way that players handled their bodies in the off season, with whether it was training or, you know, how much they were boozing. But just given how much he was better than his peers at that time, I don't think that we're ever going to see anything like it. I think Lemieux was close. You're seeing, like, Connor McDavid's basically, what, twice as good as most guys in the NHL. But Wayne was, like, three times as good, maybe four times as good as some guys.
I've argued that McDavid's as good. Yeah, it's a tough one.
I think watching McDavid and what he can do physically compared to everybody else, yes, we have never seen anything like that. But the sheer dominance and the amount of points that somebody can produce and comparable to the better overall competition, it's just going to be very different. Wayne was just so much more ahead of his time.
When did they start butterfly technique in goalie? Because that's one of those stupid ones in sports where it's like, even the last 10 years in the NBA, we're like, oh yeah, 3 points counts more as two. You should probably take more of those. Like, oh yeah, doing butterfly
technique probably helps you. A very strong comparison in the eras.
It's like, what were you thinking?
Goalies were, it used to be get giant defensemen, big power forwards, and the goalies would be 5'6", like a bunch of Darren Pangs.
And if you went around.
He's a great guy. And now the goalies are all Vasilevsky, 6'4", you want a 6'5 goalie, and you're willing to deal with smaller players. That's completely switched.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. It's like such an obvious thing looking back on it. We're like, yeah, maybe a taller guy in a net that you're trying to guard is smart.
Or a sumo, right?
You don't even need the height necessarily, but having the long arms and the long legs, that makes a big difference. Like, any of these toe saves like you see a guy like Vasilevsky.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. I know.
Like, you couldn't have a guy that's my size doing
it's
that.
It's just funny seeing it in all sport. Like, even you could say NFL. Like, the tight end position was like, oh, maybe we should have our, like, biggest, strongest guy go and catch balls where no one can guard him.
I don't think one thing is emphasized enough, though. Back then, it was like prison rules. There was a lot more clutching and grabbing. If you went around a defenseman that was 6'5", who probably worked at the local grocery store or lumber yard in the off season, he would just come in with a
he'd
full...
He'd just slash your wrist in half.
He'd take off your wrist.
Like, legit. So, they're like, break his wrist. Boom. Good job.
Yeah. Good defense.
Great. That's how to defend.
You could use
the guy's arms hanging off. No suspension.
Yeah, you suspend the other guy for being a pussy. He's like, what's going on? He's got inflatable arms. Like,
yeah, this guy's a China doll. Look at him.
Yeah.
Outside of a bad bones. Salesman, yeah.
They had to, like, take out the can opener. That was the way that defensemen used to play one-on-ones, where as soon as the forward would come down, you just put your stick in between his legs, and you'd go, whoop, and they would just, like, fall, and like that was legal. Play,
dude, you know what they should do? They should have an NHL. Like, I know the NHL has done a good job of growing the game.
They've
the
done a
outdoor
great job.
Games. What if they just had a old school rules game?
That
where, like,
would be
none of the
awesome.
Like, none of the goalies can butterfly.
No helmets. No,
yeah, like,
there's
no helmets.
40 fights.
No glass, just fencing. Yes. With barbed wire on top.
Everyone has to get shit faced the night before.
Yeah. How great would that be?
The funny thing is, if you go look, so the 04 Cup, Tampa beat Calgary. Then the whole season was canceled with the lockout the following year. And then the NHL came back with completely new rules. It was actually Biz and I's rookie year.
Yeah.
The game completely changed. If you go watch Game 7 or any part of the Cup Finals of 04, it's like watching a game from 1950. Like,
yeah.
Guy will dump the puck and skate by a defenseman, and the defenseman just takes him and just pushes him into the wall and holds him there.
Yeah, or like the Devils, like the trap and everything, and just, Sean Avery just standing in front of the goal.
Alexander Graham Bell's on the glass.
Dude, the Sean Avery shit is so funny.
That was an ultimate moment because nobody had ever tried doing that before. Yeah. And just one night he decided he was just going to stand in front of the goalie and just kind of like hit him.
There was an immediate rule change. The next day they're like, oh my God, the Avery rule. Like, only he could do that.
Going back to the can opener, I think they took that out in that lockout because Brian McCabe used to do it before that all the time. I think it was in 2003, 2004 was the last year before it?
Yep.
Yeah, there you go.
Big Cat, we had another geography moment with Biz yesterday when I came in the studio here. I want to set it out for him.
What other rules should there be for this throwback game?
No helmets
would be hilarious.
Goalies wear that. You're allowed to wear that one, you know, like the Jason face mask.
Yes.
The paper mache face mask.
Yes. It would be, I mean, wouldn't be great to tune in. Just like, obviously, player safety would be a big issue, but it would be awesome for one game.
Yeah, any stitches, you'd have to get with a rusty needle.
You know what they do? Maybe
that would give you hepatitis.
Maybe what they do is, and instead of, so they have the regular all-star game, and then they just have an all-star game of every goon on every team, because maybe not as many goons anymore, but like guys that, you know, get in fights.
What was the most memorable all-star game that you can think of?
Yeah,
the
guy
NHL.
Who got, yeah,
John
what's
Scott.
John Scott. So like, let's do that. And then it doesn't matter because it's just a big bunch of tough guys playing slow hockey, but it's hilarious to watch.
We joked about, with Grinnell and you guys about doing something like that where you compete with the NHL all-star game where you ask like maybe all these old goons to show up and do like a charity game of some sort.
It would be incredible.
Well, because a lot of those types of guys have a lot of personality too, so you can get them saying some pretty interesting stuff on the...
Would you
the,
play in it?
I would probably try. We should do a broadcast team where we commentate.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Jake Marsh right here.
I'll wear the Don Cherry suit, a little throwback.
Wait, so tell the geography.
Okay, so the geography, it was a minor dust-up. It wasn't like a full-scale Biz meltdown.
It wasn't Colorado in the South?
It was similar. So we were talking about, you know, the end-of-the-season awards that they're giving out. And I was like, do you think Austin Matthews is going to get the MVP? He was like, yeah, I think so. Because, you know, with Toronto, they've got that East Coast media bias. And so Toronto, if you know geography, it's west.
Oh, no, he's
it's
right.
West of Buffalo.
Thank you. Right about
are
you
we right. counting Toronto?
You have no
as
idea
East
what you're
Coast.
Talking about here.
No, I'm not saying it's not media bias. I'm saying is that East Coast media bias.
It's just being he meant Eastern Conference.
Eastern time
he
zone.
He meant Eastern Conference.
No, is it? Yeah, it is Eastern time.
I would say
I'd
that
say it's a northern
I would
bias.
Say if you chop North America and divide it into three pieces.
Yeah.
Okay, if you drew lines, what would you call that down from
west,
time
central,
zones?
East?
I think you'd call that time zones.
Yeah, we have three hours behind in LA, 2 hours behind in Colorado.
It's four, yeah.
Eastern time
central.
Zone here.
That's such a hockey mind, though. We have the United States split into four, and he's like, no, let's make it three.
Yeah.
Three seems better. So in that case, you'd have the Eastern, and then the Central, and then West.
So this is mind-boggling stuff.
The term it was coined basically on the people that aren't staying up enough nights to watch the Western Conference. So they're just seeing the you know Austin Matthews do his thing, and then maybe not as many as McDavid's.
That's
games.
Real. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely real. It happens with the Heisman in college football when you're
so
not
shut the fuck
like
up,
teams.
Bitch.
Guy, the writers who vote for the Heisman, the majority of them don't watch every USC game at night or Oregon game. Like that's absolutely real.
Thank you.
I agree in the premise that there are a lot of hockey writers from Toronto. Or at least have spent time.
Dude, they're going to tell you what those guys had for pregame meal. They could tell you the last OnlyFans chick that they crushed. They know everything about the players. That's how psycho they are about it there. That's probably why a lot of guys don't want to go play there or sign there as free agencies. You can maybe say that about Canada in general, but when you go to Toronto.
Yeah, it's different.
There's local. Just, buddy, the fucking whole room's packed. They're walking all over the logo. There's about 100 media members.
Speaking of McDavid, are you guys friendly with him? Do you talk to him?
Yeah, I talked to him a little bit.
What do you say about that little dust up on the street?
We don't really like to get into the guy's personal life.
But we do.
It's just, oh, okay. Well,
no, I'm just
then
kidding.
Have at it.
It could have been an old video.
Yeah, it could have been an old video.
I don't, guys, I honestly didn't look into it much other than the fact that I saw it once, and then we were like, well, we're not talking about it.
How about Chivalry isn't dead. He's helping a young lady walk down the street after a night at the bar.
That's a nice thing to do.
There was a puddle.
Yeah, and it was in the middle of the street. That's dangerous.
There was a puddle.
Just trying to get her to the car.
Exactly.
I haven't seen the video.
I mean,
the only way to get these two to shut up.
You're such a loser if you're putting that video on the internet.
Big time loser
like,
move.
It's just like
huge loser move.
I don't know.
But that speaks to you know it wasn't in Toronto.
So I have no idea where it was or anything.
It was probably 10 years
ago. People in media always bitch, especially in hockey. Oh, there's not enough personality. There's plenty of personality. They just take advantage of it and shit like that is why guys are
they close ranks.
They just fucking close it all off. Yeah. The minute they get to the rink, it's like a sonar system. Like, they're not saying a fucking word. You get them as far away from the rink as possible, and then they start to loosen up.
Did you guys ever get burned? Like, because I actually agree with you. Like, when you talk to athletes, you can tell, like, you know, like a rookie or someone who's like in the second year, there's a little bit of a wide eye, like this is awesome. And then, you know, they'll go through a couple years and they'll realize, oh, you know, I can get burned by people. People are trying to take advantage of me. People are asking me questions. They're trying to get me. Did you guys ever get burned with something?
I never got burned on like anything like off the ice or anything. But I do remember when I was in Pittsburgh, and granted, I was playing good when I was young and came into the league. So I would give reporters quotes. I actually enjoyed like, oh, after practice or games, I'd try to be not like the boring type of interview. And then all of a sudden I started sucking and the same guys are like, hey, what's up, Witt? What do you think of the game last night? How's it? And those same guys were just carving me. I was like, oh, I guess it doesn't matter. You're not at all friends with them. Not that I thought that, but at any point in time that you're not playing good, they don't care that you've been a good quote. They're still going to bury you.
Right.
So
right.
I was like, all right, well, fuck this. Especially in Edmonton, I was like, I don't want to talk to any of these guys anymore.
And that's why.
But it's their job to talk about how bad I'm playing. So it still sucks, though, if you feel like you know the guy a little. And he's like, Whitney with another -3 pathetic game, and he lost the puck in overtime, and this guy's lost. What is this guy doing? It's like,
and that's kind of where it comes into like where I think podcasting, a lot of the popularity is like you guys do it really well on your show. I think we do it well on ours, where like we're not trying to burn anyone. We're trying to have a good conversation, let them feel comfortable to open up.
I got burned.
You got burned?
Bad.
Oh, yeah.
I've told the BB Jones one.
Okay,
I've told this. Well, I used to go on KUPD maybe once a month and just like shoot the shit. And I was saying stuff that athletes, like especially who were playing, weren't like really saying on radio back then. I don't even think the team fucking
knew. But
the
Coyotes had 9 fans. So right. It didn't matter.
It's the Yotes.
Yeah. So I don't even know if the team knew
what was going on. They don't even get to put their logo on the ice next year.
That's still up for debate. That's not true. Shut the hell up. I think they're doing
this
like
is their locker room next year, your studio.
They're playing at Arizona Stadium, so if people don't know.
It's going to be a good time.
They can't even get the logo on.
Spit and Chicklets is getting a box. We're going to do a bunch of charity work with it.
Would that run you
Pink Whitney will be flowing.
That'll be the
brew that's coming out is going to be flowing. It's going to be awesome.
That's how you know a team's like scraping the bottom of the barrel. They're like, fuck it, I guess, yeah.
Let's give them a box because we can't get rid of them.
And Ryan Whitney in here.
Dude, I still work for the fucking team.
Oh, for the organization?
I do between periods. I do pregame, postgame. Uh-huh. I do ambassador work. I do charity work with the team.
The ambassador work's amazing.
Yeah, what does that mean to be an ambassador for a hockey team? It sounds like a great job.
He thought it meant he'd have to do like yard work for local fans.
No, I do. I'm actually building out the new stadium.
Oh, nice, by hand.
Yeah,
he's gonna take a while.
He's the super of the project.
I got to carry the moiter over. I used to do that when I was growing up. I used to help out with the bricklayers. So
yeah, tell the story.
So
yeah.
They like wanted to hook me up with this Bibby Jones girl, and she and I.
Oh, I remember this.
Yeah, and so. I ended up taking her out on a date. You know, we go back home, we do our thing, and you know, the next thing you know, the next morning, I'm getting a phone call from KUPD at 8 in the morning, being like, "Bibby Jones saying that you have a small horn on the radio."
Don he's Maloney, awful in the sack.
He's awful in the sack. Like I'm like, I mean, how am I going to go back myself up? Most of this is pretty true here. So, so it was a game day against the Chicago Blackhawks, so I couldn't even go on and rebuttal. But I thought that given the fact that I was giving these guys my time every month, they kind of threw me under the bus having her on. I got teed up for failure, and you know, it played out in the Valley Radio, and I think everybody had a good chuckle. But I didn't really give a fuck. If it would have been in a market like Toronto or something, Then I would have been hooped.
And that is like
I might not have gotten laid for a couple of years.
But you guys do it well, where you protect the guys that you're friends with, and I, you know, sometimes we'll get criticized for it, but it's like, dude, we're not journalists. We're not trying to like bust people up here.
I'm growing out of shower, I was in the pool.
Yeah, like Whitney's coming in here bashing our friend Brooks Koepka, who is suspended, by the way. I don't know if you saw that. We suspended him from Blake of the Year.
I don't know him, but he's fucking. He seems like a bit of a dweeb.
He's the definition of a hard-up. You just wish
you were as good at golf. Guys,
I'm just following.
Yeah,
Wits.
You think I'd love to be as good as golf? I'm no shit. Who wouldn't? But I never would act the way he does. What do you mean? Why wouldn't you want to be as good?
I don't like golf.
I think Brooks. What we like about Brooks is that he seems to dislike golf as much as most of us dislike golf.
Yes.
But he happens to be really good at it. And that's such a funny predicament.
I think that's such
I don't think so at all.
I don't know. That guy just seems a little painful.
Yeah, I'll say watching around with him, his body language is, yeah, it's a lot of nonsense.
Oh, you're a body language doctor now?
We're the experts on body language.
And what do you think of his body language?
Great. I think he's an awesome
competitor.
Great, nice human.
Would you say Kobe had bad body language?
No.
Or MJ? Yeah,
no,
exactly. Same thing. Winners.
That's you're putting them in the same class as those guys.
Look how much he's won.
Yeah. I don't know how much Witt wants to divulge, but yes, I have heard that he's maybe changed a little bit since all the success happened.
Is it the bleached hair? You don't like the bleached hair?
That was tough look.
Real yeah, that wasn't the best look. But that's the thing.
Experiment sometimes.
Yeah, you got it.
Didn't you just suspend him from your podcast?
No, he's suspended from Blake of the Year.
Yeah, Blake of the Year.
Pending appeal.
Which means, yes, it's basically just some of the listeners don't really understand the move there is to just get him to come on and talk about
Let me ask you a serious question. Had you heard anything negative about him from other people on tour?
No,
I don't really talk.
They don't talk to anyone on Twitter.
Oh, well, there you go.
So the thing about Brooks is he did a very smart thing by having this rivalry with Bryson, because everyone hates Bryson. So even the guys,
ended up hating Koepka more.
Everyone who was lukewarm on Brooks is like, well, he's not Bryson, so we like him.
There was a moment
where it was so painful that I think it switched.
No, there was a moment where he maybe overplayed his hand because Bryson like is so incapable of like defending himself and not being a dweeb that people started to feel bad for
him. I think he got they lost him on when he lost it on the rep about was it Puma rep or something he lost on a rep about his clubs
yeah. Bryson
and that's where yeah Bryson did so that's where I thought Bryson had actually had the lead there
yeah,
about
then,
being a more likable guy and then that came out and you're like oh my god this guy's not making it easy on us
that's what
they
we
can't
said,
get out of their own way
yeah, we
either
said,
one of them
yeah we said that from the beginning to Brooks like dude just let Bryson just be Bryson and you'll win. Because that's just an easy win. Because you're right. He just gets in his own way.
The one defense I do have though is I wouldn't. It's easy to say, but imagine being that famous and that good at your sport. How you would be able to keep it on the rails and manage it, and not maybe in some cases look like a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Like having the whole valley tell every you know.
Yeah, Bibby Jones. Yeah. Was it that bad?
A 3-inch horn.
Biz, was it that
lasted
bad?
Lasted 6 seconds.
Yeah.
It was that bad.
Like a sewing machine, though.
Was it that bad? It was that bad.
No, the performance was fine. She kept getting a phone call from her boyfriend the whole time, which she then Which she then went on.
Carried that part.
Which she went into studio, I believe, with him the next day. Which was so that was
dirty. That's awkward. That's what so was, she has to be like. Oh, I had a bad time.
That's what was throwing off my performance.
Yeah,
I'm like, can you? You know,
Biz so, left can you put the boyfriend was in the room watching it all. Yeah, that made it all a little different.
But that
it was actually
now.
A cuck video that never made it on youjizz.com. So still waiting for that to come out.
She wasn't doing a very good job pretending she was stuck, and then that got into my own head, and I was like, wait, what's going on here?
I have one last question before we do our Mount Rushmore. Whit, we had Danny Woodhead on. He got to the, like, one step away from the U.S.
Open.
Yeah,
he did.
Are you good enough that you could maybe one day get a step away? I'm not saying get to the U.S. Open. But
I think I could get through the locals. You have to go play. It's one round, right?
That's crazy.
And then I think, like, a buddy of mine got through last year where – I think there was four spots, maybe even five spots, to get through locals. It's one round. If you're one of the five best scores, you go through, and then you go to sectionals, and then you have no chance.
Okay.
Then it's sectionals is 36 holes in one day, and that's all the PGA guys who aren't in the open
he was
already.
Playing against Duffner.
Yeah, so it's like then you have no chance. But the locals ones, especially in maybe a place like Massachusetts where you're not going to get like – you know, you get great players, local great players. But if you go out, put it this way, you go out and shoot even par, that day it could be enough to get you through locals.
Right.
I don't
like
know what Woodhead shot.
I think he shot minus one in the locals.
Yeah, so there you go. Like, it gets through minus one. It's not like you even have to shoot. Like, then at the sectionals, through 36 holes, you got to shoot usually like six or seven
that's
under.
That's too much golf, too. 36 holes in a day, like competitively.
Oh, I would love that. Yeah, competitive, that's a grind. Ball in the hole, that's a
grind.
That's
his wedding anniversary.
Have you ever gone
36
over
36? Holes with brunch in between. No, buddy, we went to Colorado to follow around the Stanley Cup Finals. This is how much this guy loves golf.
Oh.
And on his wedding anniversary, Bree came out. He ends up golfing in the morning.
But that's your, you know, that's your day too.
Yeah, and she went to the spa and like shopping. Like, that's a hell of a relationship if you then meet
great.
Up after
yes.
and you have a nice lunch. We went to the game. It was a wonderful anniversary.
That's beautiful.
I respect that she lets me do what I love and I let her do what I love.
That's love
shop
right there.
And go get massages.
But, yeah. Another thing, you qualified for what? The U.S.?
No, Mass Am. That's just local Massachusetts amateur tournament. That's like not U.S. Open shit's way different.
Have you ever played more than 36 holes in a day?
Yeah, I've played 55.
What the fuck?
No, one day we played at Eastward Ho. It's Biz's course, Ho. Eastward Ho in Chatham, Massachusetts. Beautiful course. We teed off at like 7 a.m., played 54 holes, then I went to my buddy's wedding. It was an amazing day.
What a beast. I can't even get 12 holes in.
Well, we're in a cart, yeah. And, I mean, I'm not heavily drinking the entire time most
it sounds
golfers.
Sounds awful.
From my understanding, in Canada, they're starting to build 12-hole golf courses.
That's perfect.
12. Yeah. I think 14. Yeah, 12 to 14 is actually what will probably really grow the game of golf.
Yes, I
agree. And night golf. Night golf par threes where you can just...
Yeah, because like a lot of guys can't get away from their families
exactly.
and stuff. Boom, night
go,
golf.
Go, kids go to bed, go at 8:30, play a par three course, 2.5 hours, drinks, music. That's what'll grow golf.
I'm in for that because then also you can. What is it? The light up ball?
No, you just need the course to be lit up.
Oh.
So it's like that's kind of the issue. But if you have a shorter course, it's easier. I hear that things are starting to pop up like that more often, but it's still expensive with the electricity bill.
Yeah.
The ADD invitation.
Biz can build it, though, because that's him being an ambassador.
We should do a sandbagger with you guys.
Oh, I'd love that.
How good are you?
So bad.
Yeah, just it gets a bit,
him
little
and
bit
Hank lost like a bunch of dough to Elio and Portnoy.
I lost $6,000 to Elio in 14 holes. And he made me pay. What a scumbag.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
It was so bad. It was at one point we were down, I think I was down like $7,000 or $8,000. And I was like, I should just quit right now. And then we made a little comeback. And I was like, thank God. But it was, it was very bad.
Can I go take a piss before we start this?
Yeah,
I have a very
sure.
small bladder.
Yeah,
I could do it in a bottle in here
penis,
if you guys want
me
to.
We should
but...
do that, Whit. That would be a very funny video. I don't know.
Oh,
maybe we split
amazing.
Up the teams. But like we're terrible.
Yeah,
but...
we have to do something. Well, Hank's now like a golfer.
Well, he does.
He entertains clients on the course.
Yeah,
it's part
he
of the
gets
job.
Out there. He's an executive.
We should have to make idiot Billy Football stand on the green. He can't move. So if we can hit him, that's like an aspect.
Now
like
you
5-iron, 200 yards.
I'm interested in.
Let's just have him lay down. You can't move. Hopefully,
he'll be dialed in.
Hit him right in the forehead.
Biz said the other day, he's got liabetes.
He's a liabetic?
Yeah, he's a liabetic, which is a perfect description for him.
Yeah, he is. He's got a serious problem. You guys got to fucking figure that
out.
We
sussied him.
I know. I love that he sussied.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a – who's the Billy Football of spitting chiclets?
I don't know.
Everyone's got
me.
One.
Me?
Yeah. The best – you know what the best was? Because, you know – Billy is Billy, and everyone knows Billy. But when we sussied him, he was like, "Good, now I got time to do all the stuff I wanted to do."
Does the Pardon My Take fan base like or hate Billy?
They like him.
A lot of them like him.
Some people got irritated with him because
I feel like he's hated.
So they feel like the young kids love him. They feel like he's
got some young kids' dream job.
Yeah. And so they get mad because they're like, "Oh, Billy is ruining his shot at the dream job."
I feel like kids. I feel like people in their very young fans love him, and then like fans that are around his age, like early 20s, probably hate a little bit that like they don't have that job, and then late 20s like him again, and then 30s are like this kid is frustrating. Yeah, so he runs the gamut. But he adds something to the show. He's entertaining. He just needed to get sussied.
Yep.
Yeah, he needed a big sussy.
Yeah.
Who got sussied?
Billy Football.
Billy. Oh, yeah, fuck. Yeah.
That's right. We're going to have him stand on the greens when we play them in golf and just hit, he can't move.
We should do a wife swap. You guys get RA for a month, and then we get Billy Football.
Can we sussy him?
What do you mean?
Can we sussy RA?
If RA walks in the door and, like, sussied.
We're addicted to sussing. Yeah. We're on a two-game
sussy. You should get the yellow card and the red card.
Yeah. You're out of here, buddy.
Have you guys watched RA on Shoresy?
I've seen
the clips.
Good teammates, huh?
Yeah. Wow.
No. How many fucking tweets you want me to send out?
I want them to be from the heart that you actually saw.
We've talked.
What do you think I've done that RA's watched?
Yeah, that's a good point.
You think RA's watching Sandbaggers? No.
You guys ever seen The Town?
Yeah, I've seen it a million times.
We talk about it every podcast. That and Shoresy since it happened.
It is very funny though that the start of the series. It's RA, like at the beginning of it. It's like, here's our introduction to the series. It's RA talking about, like, what was the first thing that he says? Like, oh, yeah, that guy's a dirty player. And it's like, whoa, he's got a voice like a cartoon character.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love about
it. Oh, you can recognize it anywhere.
Yeah, it's it.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Cheese's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3chi.com. That's 3chi.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
All right, let's do the Mount Rushmore. You ready?
Sure.
All right, so since Hank is not 30 yet, he wrote a list that he'll give it to us after.
You're not 30?
List. No.
Oh, shit.
Holy shit. Imagine all this kid's accomplished. He's still in his 20s.
I've said it many times when Hank turns 30, it's going to be like an existential crisis for me because I've known him since he was 19.
Oh,
18.
My God.
19. 19. Yeah, so I've known him for his entire 20s.
Less than a year.
Yeah. All right, so you guys ready? You want to start, Biz?
No, I don't want to start.
Things that change after you turn 30. So it could be things you suck at, just life changes, whatever. Just kind of a window.
I actually will start. Okay. I have one that I think you'll really enjoy.
So it's going to be a snake draft. You understand that?
Sure.
So explain it to me.
I got a hose too. I should have gone with it.
Explain to me how you think a snake draft works.
Why can't I just play my game and you guys...
Well, because you have to play your game, but inside the concept of the Mount Rushmore.
Snake draft.
So the structure of the draft, how would you think a snake draft went?
You're taking what you think would be the top pick in that topic to not allow anybody else to have it, and then explain a little bit why you made that decision.
That has nothing to do with the snake.
So then let's say you go first.
I have one that's going to floor Big Cat.
So you go first.
And then Ryan's up next.
Okay. And then me.
And then it's me after Big Cat.
And then who goes?
And then what goes after me?
So things that suck after you turn 30.
No, but wait. So
who goes after PFT?
Ryan went, Big Cat went, I went. Now we've all four gone.
You go first again.
Yes, there you go.
I know how the fuck it works. Come on, guys.
Well, you looked at us like you didn't.
No, because I was overjoyed with my first answer and how much you'll appreciate.
No joke, I think I might have a Cane's sauce problem. I was at Raising Cane's the other day getting my box combo with extra sauce on the side like usual. I have an order. When I eat my Cane's, it goes crinkle cut fries, chicken fingers, the Texas toast, and finish strong with the slaw. So I start eating, and before I know it, I'm scraping the bottom of my sauce, and I wasn't even done with my fries yet. This habit is escalating, and I'm 100% here for it. Dip into Cane's. Get extra sauce for me, please.
He's
going to answer this.
He answered while you were out.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you'll have to listen to what he said.
Nothing. I feel like he gets a little bit cranky and whines, but it's kind of funny. He's a funny whiner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you want us to tell you what he said?
Sure.
You got a small peen.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he care about that? You know what he would probably say? How much I asked him to do for work.
What do you mean?
Like I try to chisel too much work off him, and he's like, "Dude, shut the." He's like, "I just want to fucking golf,
yeah,
bro."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Would you say that that's probably my most annoying quality? Is I'm always asking for us to do more stuff, and you're like, "Dude, this is a joke. Like, let's just do the pod."
Yeah, but it's not annoying because he's like making us money. So yeah, I respect the hell out of it.
You have the dream.
He didn't make the money I made playing hockey. So I respect that he's grinding now to make his dough. Like sometimes I'm like, holy shit, but.
You have the dream life.
I love you for it.
Wait, you actually, like, if I had to pick one person who has the dream life, it's you. I mean that.
Wow.
Like,
you've interviewed a lot of
that. No, but you get to do the fun stuff, but you're also, like, I respect that you don't do, like, you could move to New York and work here full time and be a star, but
I'd rather be Billy Football.
Right, but you are, like, really good at managing, like, this is what I want to do, this is what I don't want to do. You have the dream life.
And for the record, I have an average-sized cock, okay? I just want to put that out.
Okay. Yeah. It sounds like you're very defensive.
Yeah,
please
update
the record.
It's average.
No, I'm not being defensive.
Like Colorado's in the South, it's average.
I've never had to give a press conference announcing the size of my penis. Yeah. I'll put it that way.
I'd like to thank everybody from TNT all season long. I'll be 20 minutes here, guys. Give me a few.
For the dick pump they gave me to grow this thing.
Yeah. For bulging my crotch area with the HD lenses in studio.
Did they explain to you what a snake draft is?
Yeah, he got it.
I know what a snake draft is.
Did you ever do one with Barstool Chicago?
Yeah.
Okay.
I figured out what a snake draft was about halfway through that one. That was the learning lesson.
That was where we learned. All right, so go ahead. Let's go. First pick.
Biz.
Right away.
Your dependency on coffee after you turn the age of 30
years
old.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Good one. I didn't have that one.
That is an absolute fact.
That's a good one.
It's constant.
You're thinking you're taking on more responsibilities, whether it's with work, whether it's the fact that you have a family. You know if you have kids, you got to be cranking at least 4 or 5 cups a day, even to just get your fucking day started.
Mm-hmm.
Big Cat, I see you post about it every single morning.
So much coffee.
And I know that you can really relate to this one, and I'm sorry if I stole it from you.
No, that's a great one.
Most people in America can agree that your dependency on coffee, and it sucks because there are a lot of consequences to it. If you stop, you get headaches.
Oh, there's days where
you need to keep drinking it.
So I have a cup like right when I wake up, but then I'll sometimes like get busy or something and forget, because I usually have another cup around 10 a.m. and if I miss that one at like 2, I'm just like, what's happening to my body?
Yeah, you're like, am I having a seizure? You need
to backhand your old lady.
Yeah,
like, sorry, I need my coffee.
It's like, yeah, we should do that as a sketch.
You turn into Raging Bull.
Yeah.
Whoop, push your head off the desk.
A bad drunk, you're just a bad non-coffee drinker.
Man, what's wrong with you? I need a cup of coffee.
You know that something kicks ass when there's a big movement of people that try to like tell you how to quit it, right? So now it's like a thing where people are like, I'm doing a caffeine detox.
Yeah.
I'm quitting coffee. And they quit for like 2 months, and then they go back, and they're like, I just had to prove to myself that I could exist without it. Turns out it sucks. Going back to it, now I'm addicted again full time.
Yes.
Oh, why? You actually did that, or are you saying people do that?
No, some people. I would never do that.
But if that's your problem that you're trying to quit, like, settle down. That's a pretty decent problem to have. I mean, there could be way worse things we'd be addicted to.
Have you guys ever had a scientist on to explain the bad things about caffeine?
No, they always release – Big Coffee does a great job marketing because – like every 3 months, New York Times would be like, study shows that coffee drinkers live 10 years longer than everyone else. So they're doing a good job.
Yeah.
Would you guys start a coffee company with me?
Sure.
Okay.
Be ready for phone calls.
Okay.
Let's talk. I'm not.
Yeah, this isn't.
Okay.
Why? Then it could sponsor your pod. It could sponsor our podcast. And then we, like, you know, maybe one day if they fucking say,
we're really hurting for sponsors.
Wait, so you're saying start your own company so that your company can sponsor your own podcast?
Yes, correct. That's fucking double dipping,
genius.
Baby.
That's genius.
That is genius. Yep. This guy's smart.
This guy's
he
bigger brain.
Coffee today.
I'd like to thank my coffee company. Yeah.
That's a good one. All right, Whit, go ahead.
I would say just the hangovers.
Yep.
This is like the 1-1 draft pick.
It's awful.
You can't. Drinking, I say the drinking's the only thing in the world. The more you do, the worse you get at it. Mm-hmm. And over 30, it's like, I don't know. It for me, this list, once we talked about this yesterday, a lot of it's actually 35 for me. Like
I've noticed in the last
4 or 5 years, it's been even bigger than 30 to 35. But overall, dude, I cannot cannot go out if I have something to do the next day.
Like, yes.
And if I'm drinking, I have to drink from noon to 8 p.m., get my 7-8 hours, yep. I'm fine. But, dude, if I'm up till 2 in the morning drinking, I'm actually done for like 2 to 3 days.
Oh, yeah. 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 No, you know what it is? And you're right about the 30-35 thing. I think 30 is when these things start to creep in. 35 is when they hit like.
And I got married when I was 35, so that really.
I got my first hangover when I was 31.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this? What's this feeling?
So I remember. I was just out of college. I was 22. We'd go out every Friday, Saturday night. Say we'd train during the week, right? All the guys playing, but we'd rip it up every Friday, Saturday night. I'm talking till 3-4 in the morning. Saturday starts right back at it. Every Sunday morning, I would play softball in Scituate, my hometown. I'd go down and play softball. It was a 9 a.m. start. And I'm like, I can't even fucking move my body at
night.
I was out 2 straight nights, and then I'd play softball at 9 a.m. I wasn't even – I felt great.
Yes. Dude, so, and like, bachelor parties, it's now 3 days because it's like Monday, you're terrible. Tuesday, it creeps in, and then Wednesday, you're not hungover. You just don't feel right. Yep. And you're like, I'm not normal.
I can't tell you the last time I went on a bachelor party. Yeah. Maybe 3-4 years ago.
I go on golf trips, which I guess turn in basically to like bachelor parties. Yeah. And then, yeah, you come home and you need a vacation from the vacation.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry to go long-winded, but drinking and hangovers after 30, it's the easy. Biggest
That's
thing.
Why you need DHMD talks. Yeah. No days wasted.
It's a good
20 promo code.
And the delayed onset hangover is brutal.
The worst.
It's so bad. I'll be fine. Like
weed can help that a little.
Yeah.
Like weed's kind of created, I think, to just like a little off of your hungover might help you, but then you're just like on another planet from that too. Mm-hmm. So
you're absolutely right. Like a great life hack once you turn 35 especially is just go out and day drink.
Just day drink.
Yeah, and then go back home, have a giant meal on your couch, and then fall
pass
asleep.
Out on the couch.
Out on the couch, wake up, you know, get like 10 hours of sleep, and then you're at least manageable the next day.
The rule I always go is getting drunk is still fun, but once you're drunk, it's time to go home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Beers 1 through 7 are so much fun, and then when you're like, oh, wait, I'm drunk, I'm out.
If I know I'm drunk, it's the biggest Irish egg you've ever seen.
Out. All right, I'll go with another one that I think is high on the list and similar to hangovers, heartburn. Heartburn after when you get older, like... It sucks so bad to have to actually think about these things where it's like, oh, I shouldn't eat these wings at fucking 9 p.m. tonight because I'll be puking in my mouth at 4 in the morning. We remember when we took we were in Vegas probably 4 years ago, and Hank had his first ever heartburn, and he explained it to us, and we're like, yep, buddy.
The puke comes up. Yep.
And it's like it just hurts, and you just feel like shit. Like having to actually think like, ooh, I shouldn't eat this late at night, or this is going to, like, if I have a beer and a wing, like, it's going to fuck me up. So that's the worst.
I carry around Tums now. Yeah. Like, it's my wallet.
Yeah. So I recently made the upgrade from doing Tums and keeping Tums on me to now I take the 1-a-day pills, mm-hmm. which is like supposed to be.
You just get ahead of it.
You get ahead of it. Yeah. It's like, okay, this is just a problem I'm going to have to deal with. So for the rest of my life, I'm going to just take like a morning pill, and then I'll be moderately. I still take the Tums. I double dip on that. But it helps. So that's a big switch in your life when you realize, you just accept the fact, like, my stomach's going to suck.
Yeah, like,
I die.
I think about, like when you're 21 in college, you're like, oh, I'm going to eat Taco Bell at 2 in the morning. If I did that now, I actually might die. I might fucking,
Jimi
Hendrix, choking on my own puke.
You just have to really change up your diet as you get older. You don't even really need to exercise that much. It's more about the diet.
It is true.
If I have Italian with red wine and then chocolate after, those three right there.
That's a bomb.
Those three right there. You're waking up at 2 a.m. with a rush of puke through
like
your
throat. Like a Siamese cat
and you
shit in your mouth.
That's a heart bomb.
Red sauce and wine or barbecue and whiskey.
Yeah.
Either one of those two combos.
Yes. All right, you got two picks, PFT.
All right, this is tough because a lot of mine are off the board right
now. Yeah, I knew heartburn was on there.
I had digestion.
Okay.
Is that the same as heartburn?
Yes.
Yeah, where it's just sitting
in
your stomach.
Mine was also about my asshole, too. It's like
taking
too many shits. But I'm not going to say that.
You can do bowel movements because that's pissing, too. Changes.
I'm going to say making new friends.
Mm-hmm. That's a great one.
Yep.
That's great a great one.
When you're 30, you usually have your set group of friends.
I'm all set. I don't need any more friends.
You don't need more friends. Oh, you
trim the fat, actually.
You trim the fat. Everybody, get less friends, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it's hard to keep friends.
But when you meet new friends after the age of 30, it's usually built around an event that's taking place in your life and not necessarily because you have something in common with them.
Yes.
You know, it's like, oh, this person works in the same office as I do and I don't hate him.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I guess we're friends. Oh, this person plays fantasy football. Yeah, I'll talk to them. I guess they're my friend. But it's not the same level of closeness, because I think what really makes you close with a friend is getting into trouble together with that friend.
Yeah.
That's what forms that bond.
Well, and doing fun stuff. When you get over 30, you don't do that
much. Yeah, like sitting, the funnest times that you can remember with your friends is not even like going out. It's like waking up the next day and like all being in a house together and like, you know, busting each other's balls. Like, you don't get that anymore.
No, you don't. Because the kids got baseball. Yeah, and right. You got to get the dry cleaning. Right. Yeah, it's over.
Good pick.
Good pick. Big cat. You're up. Oh, no.
No, you don't know the snake.
Snake.
You don't know the snake,
Whitney. All right, PFD, you're up again.
Oh, yeah,
I'm up again. So for my next one, I'm going to go just sleep. Just sleeping.
Yeah.
Sleeping is tougher
once
you hit 30. It's harder to fall asleep. It's harder to stay asleep. When you wake up in the morning, you don't feel like you've slept the full night. It's just, it's not the same. It hits different after
you're
30. I would do anything to sleep in.
To be able to sleep in.
I'd kill a small animal. I wouldn't do that. I shouldn't have said that. But no. I want to just set an alarm again. Wait, I don't need to set an alarm.
Small, dude, how small dude, of an animal? Chipmunk? Like, I'd kill a chipmunk.
Yeah, like a little 10? bird.
Yeah.
Like, squirrel. I'm just telling you, I don't need, if I need to be up for a flight or something at 5 in the morning, yeah, you need the alarm. But at 6 a.m., my eyes open no matter what.
Yep.
And it kills me.
Yep. It's impossible to sleep in. All right. I got next pick. I'm going to say that when you get past your 30s, something that really sucks is all the athletes you're watching are younger than you and being like you start calling athletes kid and like shit like that, where you're like, oh, okay, like Luka Doncic is like 13 years younger than me. Like, that shit just like kind of fucks you up, where you're like, what am I doing? I'm watching, like, you know, because you grow up and you have athletes that are older than you and they're like, oh yeah, that's my hero, and then you get to a point where you're like, fuck, I'm older than everyone in this league.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
I don't think you can have a hero that's younger than you.
Yeah, right.
That's always tough to do.
It's like, and thinking like, about like watching college like basketball, and it's like, I'm rooting for a 19-year-old. I'm double his age.
When Zion got into the league and people on TV were like, this fat ass needs to watch his diet. It's like, dude, you're just like on television, like really, really caring about the body size of an 18-year-old.
Yeah, right. It's just weird. It fucks with your head, and it's just like, you have moments. You still root hard, but like, you also have moments where you like step back and you're like, whoa, what am I doing?
Yeah, am I going to get hit with a restraining order?
Yeah. Like, what's happening?
You know what's
my body shaming?
Is when the first person who's younger than you retires from sports.
Yeah, you're like, what?
And then no, don't do that. Yeah.
Wait, I still think the college guys are my age. Like,
dude, when you see the NFL draft, the quarterback that goes 1-1, you're like, that guy's older than me.
And if he saw us, he's like, hey, sir, Mr. Whitney. Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck? Dude, we're the same age, bro.
Yeah. All right, your pick, Whit.
Okay, mine would be, and this has been a big problem for me, just waking up and something's injured.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The injuries from sleep. And like, I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, injuries. I can't move my neck. What the fuck happened? Oh, you went to bed. Like, oh really? This is what happens now? Like, I wake up, my foot, I can't walk really correctly. Like, you have these injuries that happen from nothing. Whether it's, I guess, sleep, what I meant. Also, like, you can sneeze and like Sammy Sosa style, throw out your back. Like, that's after 30. That doesn't happen in your 20s. So random injuries, basically, that come from nowhere.
It happened to me the other day. I woke up, my entire left arm, completely not there.
Yeah, like,
I'm talking like not even pins and needles. I mean, like, there was nothing going on nerve-wise in my entire arm. And then I do some research about it. I either slept on it really wrong, or I've got like some injury that I'm just going to have to wake up with a dead arm once a month.
And you'll never do a thing about it either.
And it's also like just any, like, I was at a wedding a couple weekends ago, and I woke up and I was like, my ankle hurt. And I was like, why is my ankle hurt? And my friends were like, dude, you were so fucked up. You were just Euro-stepping people in the middle of the street at like 2 a.m. It's like, why did I do like that?
Why was I doing that?
Like, of course I'm injured from that.
I was going to I was going to play golf. This was 2 years ago. And I got to the road where I'm on the road, and then I got to look. I got to merge onto a road left. And all I did was just go like this.
But your dad?
The slowest
turn
to the left, and I couldn't even go play. I was like, I gotta go to the hospital. Like, I just turned left.
Another one is picking up your kids.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
if you pick
done,
up your kid, like,
done,
I just done. I'll hurt myself once a week just picking up my kids with a weird angle.
You should hire a guy to hand me
my kids.
Or, no, you can go in and lean in for the kisses, but he has to continually hold the kids.
Yes. All right, your pick two.
I was just gonna say overall, like, grooming and maintenance, and the fact that you start having hair coming out of weird.
Oh, yeah, nose and ear hair. Yeah,
the ear I get these long ass eyebrows, yeah. Eyebrow lashes.
Oh, dude, same. Yeah, it's bad.
They're like this.
Nose hairs.
Mm-hmm. Hey, well, nose hairs, and not only that, but you got nose.
Yeah, you're really on me. I have a couple hairs on.
He has
top
hairs
of my nose.
Growing on yeah. top of it. Go look yeah. at his nose.
Oh, man, that's whiskey. Like that might be the beginning of whiskey nose yeah. too.
Ooh.
Can we please post like a video or a picture of the hair that's growing on
nose.
Top on the point of his nose?
Dude, what do you want me to do?
I think you should start getting it waxed. Eyebrow
no,
combo.
I'm
got
done
a Mach
with that.
3
the unibrow.
I'm done with it.
Do you guys pluck your unibrow?
No, I've never had to deal with that.
No, so
I pluck my unibrow. I shave my unibrow. I do it all.
Yeah, I think you do for one. I would be next to my wife on the couch, and she gets up all of a sudden, comes back with tweezers, and is just pulling
yeah.
ear
and
hairs.
And your eyes are watering. You're like, ah!
She's like getting all these. She's like, these ear hairs are disgusting. I'm like, what? I didn't even know I had those.
Yeah,
so, Biz, that's a great pick.
Yeah,
great.
I think this is the obvious one. Sex drive.
Mm, okay.
Yeah. After the age of,
like, yeah. You don't want to hump.
Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna. I feel like just mm-hmm. wearing like New Balances, kind of yep. like all the stereotypes you see online about mm-hmm. becoming a dad, like the big white ones.
Mm-hmm.
The high white socks, kind of how I look like today.
Yep.
And just, I don't know, I just like, I'd rather just fucking not do it.
Sometimes yeah. you have to remind yourself, like, if I was 18 years old and I knew I could get laid and I knew that 30-year-old me would not take that opportunity, then you get mad at yourself. And then you're like, no, I got to take advantage. So you have to, like, almost trick yourself into wanting it more.
Yeah.
After you turn 30.
Yeah.
Or get testosterone shots.
Yeah. Sue Finer. Every
C-bombs.
2 weeks.
Does he really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Dude.
Is that why he's...
We know when we tape Barstool Sports Advisors if it's a testosterone week or not.
Because, he's screaming. He's just, like, so horny.
Have you ever heard
everyone.
Of his rule?
Yeah.
The 15, 15, 15
yes,
30?
Yes, we have heard of his yeah. rule.
I still haven't I still haven't recovered from throwing up after I saw him describe
that. Wasn't
that
the heartburn?
Yeah. He does Barstool Sports Advisors with his kids in the room most of the time. His sons will be sitting there, and he'll be talking about eating their mom's ass. Yeah. Okay, wait, you're up.
While he's close talking to you with a hair in his teeth.
Kind of a tough one to explain, but I cannot for the life of me get around since, and this is kind of a post-35 one, maybe a post-kids one, having to make plans so far in advance.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It fucking kills me. I got, hey, you want to play golf September 10th? I'm like, what are you talking about, dude? I'm like, call me September 8th. Like,
yep.
But everyone I know, all my friends that are way more organized than me with families, it's like they have every weekend planned out for the next 4 months.
Yes.
Yeah. And I can't do it. And it's like actually creating stress in my life because like if I just did it, but I'm like, that's like me holding on to being young. But anyone listening, you'll have a point when you need to plan out everything and it sucks.
Do you have the big calendar?
We got the shared calendar.
Dude,
the
when the big calendar
big.
Shows up at your house, this might be relatable just yet. To dads, but when the big calendar shows up to your house, it's a torture chamber.
But the only good thing about
shit
big
gets put on that, like he said, like in 2023, it's like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
basically like, you know, when like Alabama announces they're playing Texas in 2030, that shit goes on the calendar.
Yes, yes. Yeah, we have his sixth grade graduation in nine
it's
years.
Crazy, dude.
So I do think about the big calendar, though. Married guys will know. The good thing is if you get something on the big calendar,
yeah,
you get it.
It stays.
You get it.
It's in
so
pen,
it's like,
not
I put that in the big calendar.
That's
it
a fact.
It becomes
gets
more
the
real.
Calendar and just puts golf every day.
Yes. That's the thing is like you can use the big calendar to your advantage too.
Yes.
Because if it's on there, they have to respect what you've put on them. You're actually doing a good job as a husband
yeah.
and a father by planning that out that far in advance.
But basically, yes. So I mean planning your life out in advance, I hate that, and that's an over 30 thing.
Yes.
What about
yes.
Thanksgiving? How early do you make Thanksgiving plans? Because I made my last
ones. We do the same thing every year.
I made my last ones in January, and that was tough.
Yeah.
When I had to decide, like, and then I started looking at flights, and Expedia's like, sir, you can't book a flight this far in advance.
Oh, yeah. I'm
that's
always.
When you know you're old.
Yeah,
that's an
yeah,
old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's, oh, the big calendar haunts me. All right. This one, I'll have to explain a little, too. Once you get to 30 and then, like, 35, you're supposed to like nice things, and it's like you're supposed to like wine, really nice wine, and like nice clothes, and like you're supposed to like these things, but there's part of you that's like, I just want a fucking Coors Light. Like,
I'm still a piece of shit.
Yeah, right. Like, I'm still a scumbag. Like, you're not supposed, like, you can't stay in bad hotels. Like, there's supposed to be, like, things that you do that are nicer, and your friends like nice things.
I appreciate you admitting Coors Light's bad.
Coors Light is
you
the best.
Shut the fuck up.
It is the best.
I'm a Coors Light guy.
You're suspended.
I'm a Coors Light.
Do you know what
guy.
I mean, though?
Sussied.
See you later.
Sussied. Do you know what I mean, though?
See
you're supposed to,
later.
Like, be an adult with some of your tastes, and you're like, wait, I don't. Yeah, like, I like a cheeseburger. I don't need to get, like, the tuna tartare and shit. You know what I mean? Like, ordering a cheeseburger at a nice steak restaurant or a nice restaurant, you look like a scumbag. Like, I want the cheeseburger.
A girlfriend or a wife wants to try this new restaurant. You look at the menu, you're like, there's not one thing I want at that restaurant.
Yes.
I want to go to the sports bar.
I want to get, like, mini fucking, you know, corn dogs and a big pretzel. And just watch some games.
Yeah, I booked us this non-alcoholic vegan restaurant, sweetie. Right. It's just like,
yeah, right.
I should have saw it on the fucking calendar.
Dude, you have to, like, you can't, like, if I was just by myself, no kids, no family or anything, I'd just be a scumbag still. You know what I mean? Like, I'd stay at shitty hotels. I wouldn't care. Like, all that stuff. But you got to like nice things when you grow up.
The heartburn's making a lot more sense now that you keep talking. The
heartburn was a great pick.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Listen to your last two.
Suicide's not funny, but it would be very funny if Biz actually killed himself because he had to go to a vegan restaurant.
Or like, put something in a calendar.
Not worth it.
I don't mind vegan food, actually.
So my next one, I'm going to go...
You got two. We gotta rush two because they got an interview. Clock?
Okay, I'm going to go with finding... and caring about new music.
You start. I'm struggling with this big time.
Yeah. Yep. So when was the last time you found like a new band?
Well, music sucks now. I'm trying to find old music now.
Me too.
It's crazy. Too. I'm like, my Spotify is just all songs from the 70s and 80s.
Yeah. Mine, like the latest I go, I think I stopped really appreciating brand new music. I think the year was like 2011.
It's all junk now.
Anything past 2011. It's like, yeah, I'll listen to it occasionally, and I'll recognize the song. But then I'm like, no, play me something from the 90s. Like, go back.
I love that pick. That's a good one.
The key is finding a few friends that are DJs or have great Spotify lists and just have them send you over the list, and you just kind of go through it and listen. And it's kind of fun because it's random, and you don't have to do any other work to find it.
It's kind of like the same thing of talking about an 18-year-old that's coming to the NBA, though. Like, I'd feel weird going to a concert of people that were all like 21 years old. Feel like a real creep out there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a very good one.
My last one, I'm going to go just dressing.
Mm.
Just dressing yourself in general. This might be more personal to me because I have like what I call accidental 6-year-old days where I get into the office and I look at myself in the mirror for the first time. I'm like, I'm fucking dressed like a 6-year-old again.
Yeah.
And it looks weirder as you get older. So maybe it's just like me not updating my dress style. What's that, Hank? What's that fucking smirk?
No,
on
it's
your
like,
face?
It's like,
no, Hank has a smirk. What is it?
I mean, like, he looks great right now. He looks like a 6-year-old himself.
No, you were explaining it well.
Yeah.
But it's not like that changed when you got over 30.
But it looks worse on me now that I'm old.
No, now when people find out your age, like, that's how you're dressed?
Exactly.
Like, if you were 27, at least maybe that's cool.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like a personal thing. It's like not updating your dressing style whatsoever to appear like an adult.
Hey,
yeah.
I feel you, buddy.
Yeah. That's a Rudy outfit.
There's definitely something.
That's Rudy Junda. He would wear that exact outfit that you're wearing right now.
Yeah.
He'd look much better in it.
I'm envious of your dress style. Like, I wish I could dress the way you do.
Or who are you talking to about
you.
That?
Yeah.
Me? You wish you
could dress like
not
a child.
He
fashion icon.
Exclusively
he
wearing
to say not
free
feel
clothes.
Shame.
Yeah. Not have your wife.
There's going to be paparazzi following you around now.
He wishes he could not feel shame.
You wish that you could like wear jeans.
Like, I don't think you've spent money on clothes since I've met you.
Yeah, that's a fact.
I know. I'm envious of that.
A game I like to play is, what did I buy that I'm wearing? I think I bought these socks.
There we go. Huge.
I always buy. That's my treat for myself once
nice
a year.
New socks. Yes.
I buy
stocking
new socks.
Stuffer.
Yes.
All right. My last pick.
With the gold coins.
It's
chocolate gold coins.
My last pick is going to be. I watch everything in subtitles now, and
yep.
I also like have found my. So this is like a combo of like just sound. It happened actually the first time we went to Army Navy last year, and we had like a Barstool Sportsbook event. And I had to ask the DJ to turn the music down a little bit because I couldn't hear people talk. Because like I was trying to have a conversation. I was like, this is just too loud. So just the sound and like subtitles, like all that shit changes. And you're like, yeah, this music, like having to actually say, can you turn that down a little, is such a demoralizing moment. But you have to like do it because you can't hear anything. And it's bothering you how loud it is. So that sucks.
You know what the worst is? Loud bars.
Yep.
I fucking hate loud bars.
Yeah.
And it's. I think I've always like not I've never really loved being in a loud bar, but it's such a bigger inconvenience now that I'm older. And I know that I'm not a loud talker anyway. So
like
you're
not stepping foot inside a club.
I went into a club like a month ago, Hank, right? Went to a club a month ago. I was like, what do I do now? Oh, like, I just oh, I,
you I put stand, your earplugs in.
I stand next to this couch.
Yeah, and like that's wait for the bottle
and then
service.
You pay
girl.
$10,000 to stand there for the real estate.
Yeah, it's like okay, I'm gonna hang out by this very nice looking couch for an hour.
Can't even talk to anyone.
Yes. Can't do it.
Awful.
But you do get the sparklers.
That's true.
Yes. All right, Whit, your last one.
This is tough when you come to the end. I would say like patience in lines, if that kind of makes sense. Like when I'm standing around now, I don't know. Like when I was younger, I don't know. I just kind of like waited there. Now if I'm at like Starbucks or something, it's taking forever. I just notice I'm way more. Maybe it's having kids. You just lose your patience.
Yep.
And I feel like you get it back like maybe 50s and 60s.
When you got nothing to do.
As of right now, like my patience level is horrific.
If I see a line, I'll just be like, nope, we're not going there.
Yeah. It's like, I am always somewhat in a rush, I feel like, and it drives me crazy.
Yep.
You know what the worst line is? If you've already received whatever service that you're paying for, and then you have to wait in line to pay for it.
Yep.
It's like, I've already got it.
I'm leaving.
But now I have to wait in line to give you my money.
Let me just hand you some money.
Yeah.
And just, I won't take change.
Let me wait to pay.
I mean, you guys kind of collectively took my last one, which is going to be your ear ability goes up.
I think that's fair. Yeah. In general.
So,
yeah.
So now I got to think of new one.
No, I mean, you
could
do that one if you can think of other, you know, patience is different.
I would say that my early days, like, you know, in your 20s, you always want to be around your buddies and you're okay. We talked about the friend things as well, like where I really, really, like, you enjoy your alone time.
Yeah.
So therefore you aren't as irritable. But I guess that wouldn't be something that you hate when you turn 30, right?
So, yeah.
Taking care of your body maybe a little is an extra one. Like, just like you're like
losing weight.
Yeah. It's like impossible. That's like, I'm going to go to the gym. One, yeah. No, you're not.
Yeah. Yeah. Like just trying. Yeah. Just being like, oh, well. I could put together a few good days in a row, but like it's not gonna stay.
There's a game on tonight. I'm gonna drink.
Yeah, losing weight. How did I not do that one? I can't lose weight. I was on the elevator with Alex Bennett today, and she was like, "Oh, you've been playing basketball. Like, are you trying to get in summer season?" And I was like, "No, listen. There's only two seasons in my life now. It's football season when I gain 20 pounds, and then off season when I lose 10." So I'm just going two steps back, one step forward until I fall off backwards off a cliff.
So in the 2035 season, you're going to be 4'10".
Yes. It's just like that's pretty much how it always works. All right.
For me, I think that there's a limit to my body. I think once I hit 200, I think then it's all over. If I'm below 200.
What are you at now?
I can always. Shit, I don't. Probably like 175.
So if you hit 200, it's basically that's
I came so close. Last summer after we did Grit Week and we went to that wing place, Wing Nuts.
Yep.
And I fucking absolutely destroyed these wings there. I got home. I weighed myself. I think I was 195 pounds. And I know that once I hit 200, it's never going below 200. Yeah. It's just going to be about, I'm just like throwing up my hands and being like, okay, that's, I'm going to be fat from now on.
That was my 220. Once I hit 220, it was 240 the next day and it was like, you're never going back.
I think everyone has that number in their mind though, that when they see it, it's like, okay, this is over.
Yep.
We have an interview right now.
Yeah, let's go.
Bernie Nichols.
Yeah, let's. So what we'll do is wrap up. This was awesome. Thank you guys. We love you guys.
Love you guys.
Who won?
We'll put it to a vote on Monday, and then we'll have Hank
you
say
good job.
We'll have Hank say his list after you know during the show on Monday. So thank you guys. We love you.
All right, love you guys.
Love you too.
Love you guys.
Whether you're tossing the ball around with buddies or picking off passes like a pro, Optimum Nutrition can help unlock more you. Tackle your recovery with Gold Standard 100% Whey, which has 24 grams of high-quality protein per serving and more than 15 delicious, easy-to-mix flavors. Put the world's number one to the test. Available at stores nationwide and online at OptimumNutrition.com. Euromonitor International Limited. Consumer Health 2023 edition and custom research conducted February to March 2023. Retail sales of whey protein powder in 2022.
All right, let's wrap up. Hank's got his list from the Mount Rushmore. Great Mount Rushmore, by the way. Keep sending us Mount Rushmore ideas. We have a couple guests coming up that we're going to do Mount Rushmore with, including Kate, our favorite Marine. We're going to do the Mount Rushmore of America on Wednesday. Get excited for that. And Max Verstappen and Sergio Perez coming on Wednesday. I know people have wanted that. So apologies for the delay.
I had packed bars.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's actually a very, very good one that we should have said, because there's definitely a point that you reach where it's like standing for long periods of time and getting bumped into, your tolerance for it just diminishes to zero.
Yeah. I remember when that moment clicked for me. You guys probably had a similar experience at some point. But on New Year's Eve one year, and I had to pay like $100 or whatever to get a ticket, and then you have to wait in line about 40 minutes to get each drink.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I was like, okay, I'm done with crowded bars.
Yep.
Give me a hole in the wall where I can sit at the bar, talk to the bartender. That's perfect.
It's actually one of my, I think when we did the Mount Rushmore, like, hidden skills, I think one of mine was always finding a table or seats, because I just lock in, because it's basically life or death. When I walk into a busy restaurant or bar, it's life or death. If I can't find a seat within the first 10 minutes, I'm dead. I'm a dead person.
Pop in the top?
Yeah. Well, that's just a weight joke.
Are you talking about tarps off for the boys?
Are you talking about physically getting your Jeep?
No, I'm talking about taking your shirt off.
Yeah.
Like, even if, I mean, I feel like some people stay in shape after 30, but I feel like a lot of people are in shape when they're younger.
Never trust a guy over 30 with a six pack.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like that.
So when's yours coming?
Summer. I'm still 29.
This is the last summer you can have one without being weird.
Right.
Also, I think that it gets cool again to take your shirt off over the age of 40.
Well, that's when you start doing, testosterone and HGH, and everyone's like, well, we see what's going on here.
Yeah, or if you just get fat, then it's cool over the age of 40.
I like it that we now know, like, every guy who's super ripped over the age of 50, it's like, yep.
Cheater.
And then my last two are kind of the same, or I guess similar, but keeping up with the lingo and talking to people.
Whoa. That's cap.
No, it's for real. Oh, God.
And just talking to people significantly younger than you and realizing you're old.
Yeah.
Like, you think you're talking to someone that's like might be your age or whatever, and then they're like, I'm 21. And you're just like,
I had that moment today when I was at Pride Parade. Did I mention I went and did Pride Parade? Ally? No big deal. But in the office, it was like all 23-year-olds, and I was in the mix, and I had nothing to talk about. Like, nothing. Because everyone's talking about the weekend and everything, and I was just like, I don't know what to do. But so, yeah, you're absolutely right. Those moments really suck.
It's also when you see, like, a player that gets drafted and their birthday is, like, 2003.
Yeah, well, that was on,
is when they were
that, was my, that was on my
That was on your list? Yeah. I forgot.
Yeah. I can't believe we didn't do losing weight. That was very stupid. That was a big miss.
Yeah, it does. Huge miss. It gets more difficult for sure.
It's absolutely more difficult where it's like, oh, yeah, my metabolism, I can't just be like, oh, I'm going to eat a salad for 4 days in a row and lose 10 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen anymore.
Getting up.
Standing up?
Standing up, yeah. Standing up is a tough one.
Standing up, getting up from seats.
Just changing positions.
Yeah.
Moving your body from like either laying down to sitting up to standing up, or standing up to sitting down.
Yeah.
All very difficult to do.
I have to like constantly be getting up at home with kids, and it's just... That's probably the hardest part of life now, is constantly getting up.
That first,
because you know when you like get home and you sit down, and you're like, I'm gonna sit down for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just gonna sit. This is gonna be nice after long hard day in the blogging mines. Now, no sitting for me.
Nope.
I'm always on the go.
Sometimes you walk in and you stare at the couch and you're like, if you sit down, it's over.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Like, you're not getting up.
My son makes me sit on the floor to play with him, and I'm just like, dude, why can't I just sit on the couch? Sacrifices I make. What are you going to do?
Your bowels get bad?
Yeah, your bowels
get bad. For a lot of us?
Yeah, that's true.
I was going to say, I eat 4 salads in a row, and look what happens to me.
I think you eat too many salads.
Yeah,
I think that's your problem.
Your body is rebelling. Yeah, your body's weak. No, your body's weak.
You got to start putting some real, like, dog shit meals in there.
Yeah.
To keep it strong.
No, you wouldn't get fat. Come on.
Cake Marsh.
Yeah. No, they said it was cake because everyone loved him like cake.
Yep.
That's why everyone they
loves
called
Jake
him
and everyone
that.
Loves cake.
Yeah, yep. That's why they called him that. Not because he was fat. Don't say that, Hank.
I'll take their word for it. I'll ask some of them. I'll re-poll them.
Okay. Do a re-poll?
Yeah.
Okay.
Re-vote. All right, let's do numbers.
Redraft.
Give
me a 77.
What's the gayest number?
6.
I was at Pride Parade today, so I'm just kind of in the mood.
What's the gayest number? That's a good question. 3.
Ask Joey and Pat that.
Right?
96.
3? Is it?
I don't know. Okay. I just picked a number.
All right. I'll 25. Do 20... 31.
96.
Great, great tight show, boys.
Real tight. Almost too tight.
Looks like it's going to be 89. That's 89. Yep.
Fifth time.
Who's in the lead?
52 at 9 times.
Whoa, that's insane.
And Hank with how many?
You guys are just going to say this every show.
No, I forget.
It makes you laugh every show.
I just forgot about the Big Cat Draft thing where he took, you know, players when their birthdays like 2003. I'm a forgetful guy. Anyways, parrots will selflessly help each other out. They're the only bird that does that.
Wow.
Love you guys.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.